The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie & Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Thanks for being part of the show. You know the number, 1-300-736-736 is the number. The show's about you, anything that's moving you in the world of sport. Give me a call, we'll get you to air. 1-300-736-736. Love your calls. We'll read out a few of your speckled texts shortly as well. The speckled text number 0433981116. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. And that open line is for Werribee Kia. Top dollar paid for all trade-ins. David King's been good enough to join me. Big special coming up on Fox Footy tonight, the Richmond 2019 special. Richmond Redemption airs tonight. David King was part of it. We'll keep you in touch with the latest breaking stuff on the coronavirus issue. It's obviously a massive story, and whilst we could spend the whole 3 hours talking about it, it does update itself every 5 or 10 minutes to something different. So when something new does pop up, Sam Edmund will be straight into the studio to bring us the latest, as he did in the opening hour of the program. Even AFL players, I noticed with their tweets, are saying, okay, we need updates. And everybody's now being updated in the process of, if you're a player or you're a coach or you're part of the broadcast teams, you're getting updated as we speak because it's such a moving landscape. So we'll keep you in touch with it as we get updated as well. David King, welcome to you. Great to have you in the house.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you?
It's a bizarre world we're in right now.
Well, it is, and we don't know where it's going and where it's going to lead us and where it takes us, you know, particularly with the sports side of things. I mean, that's what we're here to do. You know, what's it going to look like in 4 weeks' time, 6 weeks' time? It's hard to know, and I think at the end of the day, all employers are looking after their employees, Dwayne.
Yeah, so with the NBA, if you didn't hear in the opening hour, we brought it to you a couple of times, but I hate to repeat it if you've been with us for the whole show, but it's worth repeating. The NBA season has been called off or postponed. So that's the extreme option, obviously, for a sporting body. Call it off. The other extremes are, you know, one level back, you play in front of an empty stadium, so or one level back from that is you restrict your season, postpone your season, reduce your season. So all these things are possible. And with the F1, it's a moving picture at the moment until we get this test results back. So, yeah, it is amazing. But we're like everybody else out there, Kingy, and the immediacy of radio is great. As soon as something comes to our attention that's happening in this sporting world of ours and in the world in general, we get to bring it to you straight away. So Sam Edmund's outside. He's got his finger on the pulse. If there's something else that happens in the meantime, we'll bring you the latest
What do you think's going to happen? Where are we at with crystal ball for be prepared to be wrong here.
Yes.
You know, what's going to happen with the AFL season?
I like the Jurgen Klopp approach. Jurgen Klopp said, I'm not a health expert. So I don't know. I don't know how long this virus will last. I don't know how it takes hold, whether it takes hold really quickly. I don't know what hearing world health experts interviewed on this program with Gerard Whateley earlier on, I don't know what a mass gathering is. Is that 100 people? Is it 1,000 people? It's a moving picture. So for some countries, it can be 1,000. For some countries, it could be 100. What do I think might happen? I think it is possible that we play in front of empty stadiums, yes, in Australia. I do think that's possible. Do you think that's possible?
I think it'll happen pretty soon.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's inevitable, unfortunately, which will bring its own uniqueness and, you know, in a terrible set of circumstances, we might just be blown away with how radically different the game looks.
Yep.
And okay. is.
Do you, because if one player tests positive at a club and that club is in danger, then that club won't be able to play against other clubs as well. So you get into a situation where you might have to shut the season down because a whole team can't play.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that, but you're right. We'll wait and listen for further information.
Absolutely. Okay, Alistair Clarkson, he started an avalanche today. Been plenty of people coming through to talk about it. 1-300-736-736, Alistair Clarkson. Well, he said that no bugger can score, to put it in a nutshell. What did you make of Alistair Clarkson's comments this morning? He took ownership of it. He said that you know, he's part of it is his responsibility, and he named Ross Lyon. I'm not sure Ross Lyon wanted to be named, but Clarko named him as one of those that brought in defensive mechanisms that has reduced scoring. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that we want our coaches to talk up now. I mean, Clarko's set the ball rolling. Let's hear from them. Let's see what their ideas are, because – We made a whole host of changes to try and free the game up 3-4 years ago, and none of them have worked. And they haven't worked because of strategy, because of coaching. So everything that we see in our game, and Geelong were flag favourites for the best part of, 15 rounds last year?
Yep.
And they slowed the game to a standstill, playing down the boundary line, just taking the ball out of bounds and they couldn't win it. And their scoring dropped from 101 points to 80 points. And everyone said, oh, well, this is how you win games of footy.
And then Brisbane beat them at the Gabba playing that wide, boring game. And they won the game. So then all of a sudden they thought, well, we're using that plan again.
Yeah, it's highlight barren. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that the coaches now go, hang on, we've caused this. Mm. How can we now create space? Oh, let's go 16 men aside. It'll make no difference with 16 men aside. But these discussions are worth having.
Well, it might make 2 or 3% difference to congestion.
How?
Well, because you're reducing the amount of people on the field. So it has to, by fact, reduce congestion a little bit because you've got less people in the same space.
Not if we're kicking the ball to the boundary.
No, I agree with that. And I agree that
That's the problem.
People forget about the rule change of... I mean, there's been rule changes that have been brought in that we don't repeat now because they seem to have worked. So once upon a time, you could kick 10 metres for it to be a mark. We've lengthened that to 15 metres. I mean, all these little things, the chopping of the arms, there's been a progression of rule changes. So how many do you wind back? To me, even though you've talked about interchange and I've talked about interchange, I'm not sure you can unscramble the egg we've got now. I think you've got to just enjoy the omelette.
Dwayne, no one would have any idea how many interchange rotations happen in a game if we didn't tell them.
Yep.
It just was a matter of course for over the last 4 or 5 years. I think the one simple change is to go next level with the umpiring. If you watch a game from the 80s or the 90s, if someone's half tackled or touched, it's dropping the ball. So they operate quickly.
So you
they
get rid of prior opportunity, and if I tackle you, the instant you grab it,
gone.
And you drop it,
yep.
Holding the ball.
Gone. So players will act quicker.
Yep.
They won't be as prepared to take the tackle. They won't be as prepared. They won't be as bunched. They'll spread fractionally. It might only be 1, 2, 3
yep.
metres.
So you won't drop it and we'll get a repeat stoppage and then someone knocks it to you. You grab it. You know I'm grabbing you. You know you've got prior opportunity, so you essentially don't try to get rid of it because you don't want to because you're not going to get holding the ball. But in this instance, you're saying you will get caught holding the ball. If the ruckman taps it to you and you haven't had prior opportunity and I tackle you, the onus is on you to get rid of it.
No. The initial possession, I think you give some leeway, but every possession after that. So I think that's been talked about regularly over the last few years. I think we've got to go to that before we change the fabric of our game and go to 16-man aside. But the conversation's worth having.
So because some have suggested 5, 5, and 5 instead of 6, 6, and 6, on the field, so there's been that suggestion. And I agree with you in the reduction of players on the field won't bring back high marking. It won't bring back one-on-one contests at full forward that allow a high mark. We'll still have congestion and we'll still have zones.
It'll elevate fatigue is the problem, Dwayne.
And we don't, some people want fatigue because they believe fatigue late in quarters will actually cause more turnovers and have scoring increase. But you, like the AFL, don't want fatigue because, one, it causes an uglier spectacle if people keep missing targets and our game is not as pure and beautiful to watch, and two, because it might cause more hamstring strains late in quarters as well through fatigue.
Yeah, and I'm a believer that if the ball's moving, things are fine.
Yep.
So if you're stricter with your umpiring to the point of, let's go 10 out of 10.
Yep.
At the moment, we're about 5.5, 6. Let's make it really quite ruthless on the player who's got possession of the football. And if it moves quicker, they'll tend to hold players out in defensive positions or out wider from packs. So I think we've got to have a look at that before we radically change.
So tackling's, and we've talked about this as well, tackling has become such a professional thing to do now. You have professional tacklers.
Mm.
We didn't have that in our day where you got a game because you laid 10 tackles a game. You actually had to get a kick and kick a goal to maintain your spot in the forward line. Now you don't. If you're an exceptional chase and tackle guy, then you keep your spot. Tackling's actually got better. You can't unscramble that egg, can you?
The moment coaches said to us, this guy is our first selected player, he's operating on 3 possessions a week and a goal every 3 weeks, we lost control.
Terry and Sunshine, welcome to you, Terry.
Yeah, g'day. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Just talking about the Clarko thing, I'm 74 now. I played a bit of football at Footscray in the early days and then went to the VFA days when it was 16 men aside. It's interesting to hear you talking about that. I can assure you it was darn quick. what we did, what you don't know about, I don't think, we had a line across the half forward line, both ends, and the backs had to start behind that. The middle of the ground only had your row, your ruck row, your centre man, so there was only eight players in a huge paddock. And as a consequence, we had 5 and 6 goal, 100-goal forwards, you know, back in those days, the Freddie Cook days, and at Sunshine where I played, Georgie Allen, and, you know, the Swan out at Preston.
Yep.
So what the idea was, the ball was bounced in the middle of the ground and all the forwards and backs were behind that line. So it opened up the change in attitude. We had running halfbacks, like really quick halfbacks, guys that ran in pro running in those days were running on playing off the halfback line because they had so much territory in front of them. I played centre halfback, and I remember our centre man Graham Byrne played at Footscray also. He reckons that if I got 30 kicks, he got them because he just run straight out in the wing when no one was there. So, and he'd kick the ball long to the forward line, and we had the high marking. So the game was quick, and to the extent of even when VFL players as such came back to play, they struggled with the speed of the game. So it's just something, you know, clearing that centre of the ground up, it does create space and it does create speed.
I played in the VFA when it was 16 a side.
You did?
Yeah. It makes no difference because the game at AFL level or VFL level at that stage was as quick as we've seen.
Mm.
And so you're comparing it to a product that was the same.
My worry was 16 a side and creating more space outside of the congestion is I don't necessarily love the evolution into this kick, mark, kick, hold, mark, hold, kick. I don't think that's a great evolution. So there's more space to be able to hit your 15-metre target. I think that that will be the game style of every team if there's more space to use with the kick, mark game.
The only thing I do like is that it is going to improve the quality of player. If your last two selected runners are not selected anymore.
Yep.
So that will improve the quality of player.
Got to talk to you about this special that airs tonight on Fox Footy, 7:30 p.m. We'll take some more of your calls after the break. David King is with us. Terry, Mark, Anthony will come to you all. Read out a heap of your texts as well. Hawthorn Membership Day today on SEM. Become a Hawks member today. Call 1-3000-HAWKS. Alistair Clarkson has set the agenda by being with Gary and Tim today and saying, "No bugger can score." That was his words. That's the quote that's going to be on the back page of the Herald Sun tomorrow, I presume, although coronavirus might actually wipe it off. But plenty still to come on Dwayne's World. David King's walked down the road from Fox Footy after getting a few things organised down at Fox for the coming round one and watching a few excerpts from Richmond Redemption, which airs tonight on Fox Footy at 7:30 p.m. Tell us a little bit about it because, I mean, this whole, even the evolution of this product that Fox has been putting together as a grand final recap for a number of years now has evolved to the point that these have become great snapshots of history. And for Richmond, this is going to be a good one tonight as well, I'm told, because I've seen some good excerpts myself.
Well, you were a major part of the grand final recap over the last, what, five, 6 years?
I was involved when all the players started to realise it's probably not such a bad idea, to be honest, because in the first couple that we did, players were reticent to be honest, to actually tell it the way it was. They don't want to say, well, here's this moment in the game when how special was that to us? But when you've got so many special moments in that grand final, we do have so many special moments in history, it's nice to have the players telling us their perspective and the coaches telling us their perspective on how big it was for them in their lives.
Well, I can guarantee you tonight at 7:30, if you watch the Richmond Redemption, you will see the best storyteller in the game, Damien Hardwick, take you through. He started at 2018.
Mm-hmm.
The loss to Collingwood in the preliminary final, how that built what eventually we saw in the back half of 2019. They had a horror start to the year with Alex Rance going down, a whole host of injuries they hadn't seen. They were out of the eight at round 14. So he steps you through that. Look, to be honest, it could go for 3 hours, Dwayne. I sat there for a couple of days and Damien spoke for about 50 minutes. We probably used five or six of that. Brendan Gale was amazing. Peggy was obviously on there, and then the
Peggy,
players.
It's interesting because Brendan Gale, when you look back, Damien Hardwick, after in his seventh year, finished 13th. He was under pressure. There was a challenge to the board. Damien Hardwick was going to get the sack. Fans didn't necessarily think Damien Hardwick was the right guy for the job. Brendan Gale had been ridiculed a year or two earlier about having his plan, about 75,000 members and final series. And I think he also mentioned about making Richmond the number one club in Victoria. People were ridiculing him about that. People were asking, what's Peggy O'Neill bringing as president? And all these people now have become iconic to the evolution of the game.
But you've got to understand the method of how that happened. And Damien takes you on that journey. What gives you chills, Dwayne, when you watch something? And I don't know whether it's just you feel invested or mm-hmm. whether it's an event or whether it's just the story. But in watching this, he's almost emotional telling some of the stories, and it drags you in. I watch it and I get chills thinking, oh, this is awesome. And we're just listening to them tell us what they went on. It's riveting stuff.
Well, he's changed the face of that club. I know that he had help, and Neil Baum, but he changed his methodology as well. And, you know, to see the person he is now, he is a statesperson for the game. And there will be, I think, in 10, 15 years' time, people, he'll be the go-to guy. What did you do at Richmond back then? What do you think we should do here? Because, I mean, the ability to be able to tap into his brain, I can't wait for tonight. Hey, before I let you go, what's the bottom line on this whole Alex Clarkson comments and the evolution of the game? Do you think the AFL will pull a lever at any stage, or do you think they'll – obviously they can't now for this season, but down the track?
Bottom line is, if Clarko's talking about it, it's a conversation we need to have. Now, where we end up, I don't know, but something has to change if he's putting it back on the radar.
Great to have you in, King. Look forward to it tonight. David King, Richmond Redemption, airs tonight on Fox Footy at 7:30 p.m. Sam Edmonds about to rejoin me in the studio to bring us the latest on the coronavirus situation. Jeff in Alice Springs has given us a call on that. Welcome to you, Jeff.
Yeah, g'day. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Hey, I'll be really quick. I think at last I've heard something. What the NBA is doing is the question I haven't heard about the AFL yet. Obviously, if a spectator has the problem, you clear the stands. But if one or two people in the team have it,
yep.
The only thing the AFL can do is postpone the season. Because if they make that team play, and then two or three weeks later, a couple of teams go down, and then they postpone it, they've inhibited that original team. And I haven't heard anybody talk about that yet.
Yeah, well, David King, we did talk about it with Sam Edmund earlier on, the fact that if a player from a team does contract coronavirus and that team is shut down, then you kind of don't have a season because you've got one team that can't play. So you're absolutely spot on, Jeff. We have discussed it this morning. It was discussed earlier on as well with Gerard Whateley's program. And it's, again, the coronavirus is a situation where they don't want to spend the whole 3 hours on it, and some people pop into the show and pop out of the show. But it certainly has been discussed, Jeff. If a club has an issue with a player and that club can't play, then the season can't go on with one less team. And that's the issue right now that everybody knows is a moving picture, and it's hard to have a guess right now what the world's going to look like, what the AFL world's going to look like in a day's time, let alone in a week's time. Anthony in Croydon, Mark in South Melbourne, come back to your calls very, very shortly. Hawthorn Membership Day on SEN. Become a Hawks member today. Call 1-3000-HAWKS. And Dwayne's World brought to you by Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And the open line, thanks to Werribee Kia. Drop down and see the team at Werribee Kia. Top dollar paid on all trade-ins at Werribee Kia right now. Drop down and see Jim and Janan and the team. I'll read out a few bespeckled texts after the break. Sam Edmund to join me after the break. Bryce Cotton to talk some basketball out of the break. Mark in South Melbourne, just briefly before we take a break. You there, Mark?
G'day, guys. Welcome back, AFL Footy. You basically turned around and said that in the 80s there was 30 goals kicked.
I said that the Geelong in 89 had a few weeks, and I was involved, and I played, I think, 9 or 10 games in the 89 season. So there was weeks where we kicked 35-18 one week and 32-19 the next week, and there was a game against Hawthorn that Alistair Clarkson mentioned on breakfast this morning when Geelong kicked 25 goals and lost because Hawthorn kicked 26.
Is it due because back then the interchange bench was only 20? Or you have a look on the weekend. St Kilda Collingwood was a defensive-style game. Mm. And then you have a look at Greater Western Sydney Richmond where they had more key forwards kicking goals. The games vary also how teams are structured. And, you know, today, in the interpretation of umpires, basically every week you'll talk on Monday how this interpretation of a free kick is different than the week before. Is the game getting over-umpired?
Well, if you think it should be umpired a little tighter and we get rid of prior opportunity and the umpires should ball the ball up quicker and pay a free kick better. So some people say it's being over-umpired, Mark. Others people say it's being under-umpired. And there's a few coming through on that. It's the way the game is umpired is the problem. Wake up, Luke from Balan. So there's a number coming through on that. I'll read more of your speckled texts out and take more of your calls on the open line, thanks to Werribee here very shortly. 1300 736 736 is the number. 1300 736 736. Sam Edmund, Bryce Cotton, plenty still to come on Dwayne's World.